Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage. This week, in celebration of Snake Eyes' Year Zero origin story, we're looking at G.I. Joe origin dukes up.
Marriage story, yes.
So this is also a G.I. Joe origin story of sorts, isn't it, Mason?
It's everybody's origin. Everybody's got a haunted past. Everybody's got a flashback.
Yep.
Everybody's just being a sad Channing Tatum driving a motorcycle in the rain outside a graveyard. It's just, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of leaving alike, and it's a lot of flashbacks and sad origins and
G.I. Joe sad origins.
G.I. Joe sad origins for a movie that, when you think about it, is ultimately just about toys. Like, I think rewatching this movie, I had to, every scene, I had to step back and go, okay, this is a movie, I guess, for children that is just about toys. And if you imagine all the characters are just action figures and vehicle playsets being wielded by children, smashing them into each other, you go, oh, this is actually...
That makes sense.
This actually makes... Some sense.
Well, yeah, because you say it's a toy property, and it is, because Hasbro did this off the success of Transformers 2 years prior. In the making of, there's literally a moment where one of the Hasbro executives is like, we looked at all our brands and went, what brands? And like,
and everybody applauded.
Well, I applauded because I'm like, yeah, that's movies mostly, isn't it?
Sure
what
is.
Brands do we have? How can we rebrand our brands? And they just did it. And
we're lucky this isn't a Cheerios movie, honestly. Just Cheerios battling for worldwide supremacy. Count Chocula.
So, well, that movie's
Boo-berry.
That movie's definitely coming.
Yeah.
So
Cap'n Crunch.
Oh my god. So a lot of this is based off the 1980s rebrand of the series, because it was just like a standard action man prior to that.
Yeah.
And also a lot of the stories from the comics. Going into this, were you a fan of G.I. Joe? Because I wasn't. Like, I knew bits and pieces, but I didn't really have any of the toys or the ships or the play sets or whatever.
I knew I had so many of the toys. I read the American comics. I read Action Force, the British version.
My God.
Which is the same thing, but rebranded for Britain, and they all have tea and crumpets and et cetera.
It's more polite.
They wear top hats and monocles, and it is more polite, yes.
Well, there's a monocle in this.
Well, that's a tip of the hat to G.I. Joe the Action Force.
So for me, I watched this movie in 2009 where I'd spent 6 months in fairly remote Africa teaching and I hadn't seen a movie. And then on the plane, I sat down and somebody handed me food.
I thought you were going to say they handed you a copy of G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra on just the DVD. You just stared at that cover all the way, 14 hours on a plane. Ooh.
And I watched this movie and I went, yeah, I love this. Because it was just like, and look, I know it's objectively, it's not great, but I think as far as you mentioned, a translation from toys to comics, it's just a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, they have all the sayings like knowing is half the battle, lifelike hair, kung fu grip, all these things that come from G.I. Joe. And there's jetpacks and weird planes and big drills and submarines and a night raven. I looked it up, Mason. That's a big thing, isn't it? The jet?
I mean, I guess.
It's a big thing.
It's a very convenient Mark VI jet that exists. There's only one in the world and it just happened to be there And it's capable of catching Mark V missiles. It's very, very convenient.
And it's also slightly more resistant to nanite technology than other vehicles.
Well, I think we should take... first of all, it's the rise of Cobra, everybody out there. It's not Rise of the Cobra, as everyone seems to think when I have conversations about it in real life. It's not what it's called. It's called The Rise of Cobra. What I did enjoy about this movie is I like the idea of like regular army soldiers kind of encountering this, you know, a worldwide task force that has all this cool tech and all this, you know, all this slightly advanced warfare stuff. I think that's an interesting idea. I think it takes it way too far and it dips it into sort of cartoony. But I love their greatest weapon, which is, of course, you just mentioned, which is their plot armor, which is when every character...
Sometimes it's literal armor.
Sometimes it's literal armor. But sometimes, like in the opening action sequence, you know, Cobra's shock blaster guns will just absolutely turn helicopters and cars just to atoms.
Yeah.
Unless Channing Tatum's in the Humvee, in which case it just flips it over.
So, yeah, yeah. You know? Absolutely.
Just people surviving exploding planes and helicopters and things flipping over just because they got to get to that next scene.
They got to get to the next scene. So in the not too distant future, in the year 2020, when this movie is set.
Is it?
Yes.
What? Is that? I missed it.
This is true. Well, they don't say it, but that is officially
what it's
set.
I should have known as a big G.I. Joe fan.
Well, you should have also known.
What's happening over at Action Force? How are the crumpets in 2020?
So Stephen Sommers, who directed the first two Mummy movies, he took great care, which I also think is a great choice. If you're going to do G.I. Joe, I understand why you'd get someone like him at this time.
He took great care to have three Mummy alumni in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Three.
Do we want to name them?
Brendan Fraser's in there.
Yes.
Sergeant something or other.
Yes.
Not a character I recognised. Yep. Kevin J. O'Connor is in this as Dr. Mindbender.
Yep, yep.
And the great Arnold Vosloo is Zartan.
That's right. Yeah. What I love about Zartan is he's a master of disguise, as we all know.
You mean putting a hat on.
I was going to say, putting a hat on, putting on an eye patch, and then but then suddenly it's like, oh, we got nanotechnology, we'll just change you into the president.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I like that jump. There's no like prosthetics. There's nothing in between.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just put on a hat. Now you're the president. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but Stephen Sommers took great care over the technology depicted in this film, going through various books and magazines about weapons technology. He feels that almost 100% of the technology can be developed within 10 to 20 years. How do you feel about that?
Oh, great question.
Mm. By the way, it's about a nanite bomb, and the nanite they'll keep naniting, and they'll just engulf everything.
So what's happened is Christopher Eccleston.
Yep.
He's gotten some juice from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And he's on his tour of like doing Hollywood stuff that he hates.
Yeah.
So he did Thor after this, before this, the same time, the same year, the same sets. Yeah. I don't know. He did that. He did this.
He did one of those young adult novels. You know, whatever, where he was the guy with long hair. You know,
they all did
one of those.
He did a bunch of those, yeah. So he's in the middle of this. So he's a weapons designer.
Yep.
And he has developed a nanotechnological bomb that can eat through metal and et cetera and never stops eating through metal.
Yes.
Never stopping. But he wants it to seem like they're being stolen so he can...
Chaos,
and then he can sell bunkers to the president,
but then
he gets somebody to become the president.
Yeah.
So he's got full control of everything.
You could just get him in a toilet. You know what I mean?
President.
Is it a social event?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes into a toilet.
I'll suck him into the toilet.
Instead of
some sort of nanotech toilet that you sit on, you think it's a normal toilet, and then it opens up into like a big well, and it sucks you down the toilet.
And then Zartan drops down from the ceiling.
Nice.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what they would have done in Mission Impossible, I feel.
No, definitely.
But yeah, do you think there's too many hologram people in this movie? Because that's a thought that I had. Like,
I think there's not enough Cisco telepresence in this movie. I think there should be more Cisco telepresence, and I want to invest in Cisco telepresence.
Well, that's very good. Because there were too many scenes where it was like, you better get this done. Oh, I'm a hologram. Well, you're not doing enough G.I. Joe stuff. Oh, I'm a hologram too. It's like, yeah, okay, fine. You're all holograms. Who gives a shit? Stop doing this. It happens like 8 times.
Well, they did. They stopped doing it and they got to weird jumping around suits.
Oh, they got to that. I wanted to ask you about that. So they are called...
Accelerator suits.
Yes. Now, Stephen Sommers... I looked into this because I'm like, is this a G.I. Joe thing? Because I don't remember it being... No.
Yeah.
So Stephen...
This James is my number one beef with this movie. As the number one G.I. Joe / Action Force fan.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't like it. They're action figures clashing together. But it feels very much like they went, you know why Transformers was successful?
Yeah.
Robots
spinning and
spinning
flipping
through the air in slow motion. We've got to get in some of that. Can we get a human man to do that? He'd be torn to pieces. Put him in a suit.
Well, Stephen Sommers, he wrote a script prior to this that never got picked up called Accelerator.
Oh.
And so he went, yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My dream of making a man slightly faster and more bouncy and in bad CGI, it will come true.
I didn't mind that sequence because they're jumping through and over buses or whatever.
Sure.
It's not too bad, you know. And I mean, the suits themselves, when you see like people actually running in them, which they had to do for some of this, it's not a great design. Like, it's a weird clear faceplate. Like, I just think, you know, there's some fun. It's
Can
a
we
fun
talk
chase.
Design?
Let's talk design.
Because some of the design in this, costume specifically, changes were made from the comics that did not need to be made.
Are you talking about Snake Lips?
I'm
the
talking
character
about
Snake Lips?
With carefully cultivated, just molded, beautiful musculature and beautiful lips. You want him to just pick you up in his big arms and cradle you against his big Batman 89 carved musculature and give you a big comforting kiss with his big molded lips.
Sometimes.
Do you think when he puts the mask on, he has to lock his lips in?
That's a great
to the
question.
The inside of the mask, his real lips?
I hope so. So that's Ray Park, by the way. People probably figure that out because he's doing all the Ray Park stuff that you know and love. But sometimes the mouth is slightly open. I'm like, has he got different masks? What's he doing? Because the mask doesn't move as far as I know. But yeah.
He has to anticipate when he might be surprised, for example,
yeah,
or quizzical. And then he has to dive behind a pillar and put his quizzical lips on. Like, pursed lips to indicate skepticism.
So what I think you might be referring to is when Christopher Eccleston's character, who is Destro, he's based off his ancestor. He's like, my ancestor wore a metal mask. And then Cobra Commander's like, you'll wear a bloody metal mask all day, mate. And he gives him the nanite metal mask technology. Mm-hmm. Funny stuff. just a really funny scene, right?
Yeah,
Just a big egghead with big metal ears sticking out the side.
Oh,
I'm a big fan, yeah. But Cobra Commander, I assume you're not a fan of.
No.
Well, first of all, JGL just storming in on Channing Tatum's engagement. What's up? You're getting engaged? Here I am.
Right?
He's still on one knee. Maybe just see how this plays out.
And then he becomes Cobra Commander because he goes into a building that's going to be airstrike.
Yep.
And then he discovers the secret to nanotechnology. And then he stays in the building while it gets bombed. But then because of the trauma that Channing Tatum felt because he couldn't save JGL, he leaves Sienna Miller's Baroness.
Yes.
And that makes JGL want revenge against Channing Tatum?
Yes.
Kind of on you, man.
Well, I think the costume
yes
is very interesting.
Isn't it, though? Yeah.
What I also love is he's doing a lot of one-eye acting. because his mouth is completely covered and he's wearing a monocle. So it's just a lot of like intense one-eye stares, you know?
And the voice that I assumed he was being, like, it's, at a certain point you go, why did you get Joseph Gordon-Levitt if you can't see him?
Yeah.
And he's doing a voice, which I assumed was overdubbed by somebody else, but that's him doing like the cartoon Cobra Commander impression, like a sort of halfway impression of that.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
And then the mask he gets at the end. Rubbish.
Well, apparently it was like, does this other mask look a bit like a KKK mask? And I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
What I'm saying is, based on all this, whoever did the costume designing should absolutely be fired right now from the production of G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm putting my foot down.
Well, actually, no, you just missed it because this was set in the year 2020.
Ah, I did miss it. Speaking of Cobra Commander,
yeah,
he's not a guy called Rex. He's a guy named Fred.
So, yeah, I looked into it and there's kind of, what is his backstory?
He's a guy named Fred.
Yeah.
And he started a pyramid scheme.
Is this true?
Some steps are missing. And then Cobra.
Okay, gotcha.
In the town of Springfield, but not the Springfield you're thinking of, a different Springfield.
A different town of Springfield.
Yep.
I like at the end how, because he's not the main bad guy, then at the end he's like, I'm the main bad guy, call me Cobra Commander. And then they're like, you're under arrest. And he's like, oh, fuck. Because if he didn't do that, he could have just said, I was being manipulated.
Absolutely, right?
But nah, he had to step up, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
So there's some Storm Shadow Snake Eye origin situation, which presumably we're getting in Snake Eye Origins Year Zero.
Yeah.
Where did he get his snake eyes? Where did he get his snake eyes? Stole them off a snake?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That is accurate. Yeah.
Okay, good. So did Storm Shadow really kill their master when he was like 8? Because that's crazy.
No, spoiler alert. Mm. It was. Hang on, let me think.
Zartan?
It was either Zartan or Firefly. I can't remember, but it was one of them. It was a trick.
Okay, so they're not really enemies?
No. Nope.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Storm Shadow outfit, though? That's
pretty good.
I love
it.
He invented the fidget spinner.
I was going to say, his dry cleaning bills must be insane, but he did invent the fidget spinner. So, you know, I guess he's got that money to burn.
Yeah. So
do you think there is a real through line there? Because he is fidget spinning that shuriken.
I think it's entirely possible. I looked it up. They were invented in 1993, but they didn't come to prominence until after G.I. Joe Rise of Retaliations. So, you know, what do you do? What do you say? We also got Duke, obviously, who's just like generic action man. I want to talk more about Channing Tatum's involvement because it's quite hilarious.
I think I know a little bit about that.
Oh, good, good.
I mean, this is years before Magical Michael, but he's still looking good, isn't he? He's not looking like chiseled, but
he looks great.
He's looking great.
And then we've got Ripcord, of course, who his story arc is, I can fly a plane.
Mm-hmm. Better believe. No one will let me fly a plane. But then they're going to let me fly the best plane.
Yeah, that's right. And
is the best voice activated plane. The best Celtic voice activated plane.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. There's another one that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think this is the best one. Yeah. So he also...
It just keeps getting activated by football chants.
Yeah. So his story is also, he teaches a very competent G.I. Joe task force member to be less competent and more emotional, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's fun, isn't it?
Sure.
Just wearing somebody down over the course of 2 hours.
I loved how they got their little meat cute here. Ripcord and Scarlet got their little meat cute.
Yeah.
You know, they slowly got closer together. They learned to respect one another and, you know, be attracted to one another. And by the second one, they're just going to be obliterated in an airstrike or something.
Or something, yeah.
Or maybe off screen. I think it might even be off screen.
I cannot remember. I have seen it. We will talk about it on another episode of Caravan of Garbage. Spoiler alert next week. Is that a spoiler?
Yeah.
That's a spoiler. I've written here, I like their little cartoon base that they live in.
I like the fact that they're all just wearing different camo. Like some have got urban camo, some have got jungle camo.
Yep.
Why not? Who cares?
I like
just mix it up, wear whatever you want.
Well, that's G.I. Joe, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah. I'd also like
they're probably off on different global missions, I don't know.
They might be, yeah. I'd also enjoy the Die Another Day / Austin Powers styled ice kind of cave that the Cobra Commander live in, and also underwater because a lot of this is submarine stuff.
James, I have a list here.
Yep.
It says things that are CGI in this movie that probably shouldn't be CGI in this movie.
Here we go.
Cars, motorcycles, jet fighters, men in robot suits, men abseiling, missiles, smoke, electricity, elevators, glass, sand, snow, water, submarines, large, submarines, miniature, fighter jets, underwater military bases, underground military bases,
yep,
polar bears. That is the list. Do some of these practical, do some of them as models.
Yeah.
Just get some stock footage of a polar bear,
I think. I mean, I think the moment, what you're talking about, I think, is mostly encapsulated in one elevator ride.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Terrific stuff. I like at the end how Cobra Commander and Destro are speaking of impossible spaces. They're trapped in a weird impossible prison, in a void, but in an electricity cell, but they're in cell numbers 7 and 9. Who's in 8?
Great question.
Maybe it's in the next movie. I think they're all frozen. Can't remember.
It's a different prison in the second one. Anyway, the point is...
Oh, there was a prison transfer. Yeah, I want to see Prison Transfer Origins, G.I. Joe, year one.
My guess, James, would be there is no 8. So when there's a prison break, it's a bit fun for the guards because they're like, we're going to get 8. But the prison warden's like, there is no 8. This is hilarious.
This is actually a very good joke that I've done.
I'm good at this.
Let's talk, Mason.
Okay.
In terms
finally, let's get real here. I'm turning my chair around.
In terms of little trivia boys, let's call this.
Let's call this little trivia boys. Here's a little trivia boy for you. Yep. Hey, Breaker, it's just an ATM, not an ATM machine.
Good point.
It's not an automatic teller machine.
Is he the one with the big minigun?
No, he's the guy with the little goggles. Goggles. It's me, goggles.
I'm French.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he didn't know.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's what they call it in France.
I was actually, let's just do it here. There's a minigun in this. What do you think?
Pretty good.
But it's not tearing through a bunch of people, right?
It's not tearing through a bunch of people, so yeah, 0 out of 10.
So interesting that you mentioned that Arnold Vosloo is not the only hangover from the Mummy movies. So Brendan Fraser, I looked it up, he plays Sergeant Stone.
There we go.
Popular beret character, presumably. He rolls in on a three-wheeled motorbike.
Hell yeah.
Just being like, who's being a G.I. Joe in here?
Yeah.
I'm going to check this out.
Can I make anybody here a better G.I. Joe? Maybe one of these guys can teach me to be a better G.I. Joe.
So Brendan Fraser, and I think Stephen Summers has also mentioned this in passing, that in their continuity, he is a descendant of Rick O'Connell.
Whoa.
So there you go. The Mummy universe, including the Tom Cruise one, I guess, is set in this movie, which means the Tom Cruise Mummy movie is a prequel to this movie.
Hell yeah, it is.
Fuck yeah, I love continuity.
Maybe he's friends with Serpentor.
He might be. Yeah. Why isn't there a big snake-faced guy in this?
Saving it for the sequels.
Yeah. Did they, though?
Or the origin, Serpentor origin.
Oh, my God.
He's a bunch of dictator DNA. They put it in a centrifuge and spun it around.
Okay.
That's the origin.
And some snake stuff, though, right?
Not as much snake
stuff. Then why does he look like a snake man?
More Hitler stuff than snake stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Terrific. A post-credit scene was planned in which the famously mute Snake Lips tells a joke to the G.I. Joe team, though this was advised against because it would detract from the seriousness of the film as well as go against
the toy film.
That's right, as well as go against the core of the Snake Eyes character, who has always been portrayed as a complete mute. But also, he got revenge. So does that mean he can talk again? Or is this a version of Snake Eyes where his vocal cords are cut or whatever? I can't remember. I think a lot of these questions will be answered in the next movie.
In Snake Eyes G.I. Joe Origins. Yeah. Well, I mean, this version apparently took a vow of silence.
Yes.
But the comic book version took the vow of silence specifically that it is like burning jet fuel to the face.
Melted
his head shut.
Yeah.
His whole head.
His whole head.
All the holes in his head shut.
So his head just looks like a knee.
Yeah.
Just smooth. Yeah, baby smooth.
That's right.
Terrific. Okay.
Ironically, something a snake doesn't have knees.
So Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans nearly got the role of Duke.
Ooh.
Before it went, and by went I mean was forced upon Channing Tatum.
Contractually, right?
Yes. Yeah. So there were three. So he signed a 3-picture deal early on in his career. Mm-hmm. This was before Magic Mike. So it was kind of a bit of, what's this Channing Tatum fella going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Is he a funny guy or is he action guy? So we'll surprise he's both. And he's a dancer. Triple threat.
And he's a dad. Oh, he does it all.
Quadruple threat.
That's right. So,
and he's got a gun.
There's a clip that we could put in here that Ben will put in, who edits these wonderfully, where he's talking on Howard Stern about how he hated it. But by the end also, he was like, yeah, it was all right. Like, the movie was like, it was fine.
He got to work with Jogo Lev. They're friends, they're mates. They've been in a bunch of movies together.
Speaking of hating it, Christopher Eccleston, you mentioned that tour of hate, revealed in an interview that he hated the film.
What?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
And quick shout out to Norton Security for the download. With the nano, all the nano technology onto a USB. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. They got USBs right, because that was in 2020.
That is very true. We haven't abandoned those yet.
Want to talk budget.
Go on.
This is a segment of the show called Budget Boys. We're a couple of boys.
Oh, we're the Budget Boys?
Yes.
Okay, great. No, I love being the Budget Boys.
We're definitely closer to like retirement than being boys. But That's okay, right?
Yeah.
So it was made for $175 million.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah. Well, they had to make all those cartoon worlds.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But it only made $300 million at the box office, which means it maybe just kind of broke even potentially. Yeah. But it was enough for a follow-up prequel with even more origins that you aren't even going to believe.
In fact, probably, potentially, the best origin of all, the origin of the Bruce Willis that only works a day for $1 million.
That's right, yeah.
We'll see, won't we?
Oh, my God.
That's a thing that I learned quite recently.
Yeah.
And it's given me a whole new perspective on any role he's ever taken. So yeah. I want to go back and rewatch the sequel and see if that's what he's doing over there.
See where it's at.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you do want to see that video early, though, G.I. Joe... I don't know what it's...
Retaliation.
Yep. That'll actually go up early at bigsandwich.co, won't it, Mason?
Yes,
they always go up. It's a little bit early because Ben gets them done. And if you do sign up there, we've got bonus podcasts, we've got movie commentaries. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that comes out a day early. We're probably going to do that Snake Eyes movie, won't we? We'll have to talk about Snake Eyes, won't we?
Yeah. We do Snake Eyes... We do all the other origin movies, G.I. Joe. I'm looking forward to Chuckles' origins.
Who's Chuckles?
He's got the Hawaiian shirt on. That's the undercover guy. He's like, I'm undercover. I'm wearing this really loud Hawaiian shirt.
That's very funny, though. Is that why they call him Chuckles also?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's great. We'll ask him.
He's probably got that Joker problem.
He probably does have the Joker problem. Anyways, I'm with Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Leave something below if you want us to look at it. We'll look at it, won't we?
Yeah, do you think they should have done a post-credits where G.I. Joe calls an airstrike in on the Black Eyed Peas for Boom Boom Pow? Think that should have been the end? I think it should have
been. Maybe, yeah.
All
right, thanks for watching, guys.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.